Wow, man. Welcome to the Clash Tits podcast. I'm really excited to have you. Are you excited?
I'm super excited, man. Thank you for having me. And it's an honor to be here.
Yeah, of course. So, not sure many people would know, but you have actually been with the Clash Tits podcast since the very beginning. Like, I would almost, I maybe this is a little presumptuous of me. I would almost say that the Clash Tips podcast was what led to you starting your amazing YouTube channel. Am I incorrect on that? Or is it
No, you're
part of the
not.
reason?
It's a huge reason, actually. And that's why it was such a big deal that you asked, because when I started playing Clash of Clans, like again, maybe like 2.5, 3 years ago, I was still learning a lot of the game. And I think there was only like two or three episodes out. I think you just did your first episode with T, and I started learning a lot from the podcast. And then slowly I just started to realize I felt that, I was starting to get a lot of knowledge in the game. And a big portion of that was just the value that came out of those first few pods. It was huge, and it was very instrumental. So, I'm really appreciative of like the work you do, and of course, like, the work that T has done, and just everybody who's been on the pod. It's been really helpful for me, and it just helped me to see things a little bit, right? And kind of take that jump, right? After that, things grow on their own, so.
Yeah, definitely. So those first few episodes, actually pretty much any episode that has the word strategic rushing in it is our most listened to episode by we have thousands and thousands of downloads on those
Let's
specific
go.
episodes. I mean, just because people are really interested in it and you took advantage of that. And before I continue, everybody, this is BD Legend. If you're not familiar with his YouTube channel, he has some amazing videos up. We're actually going to be talking about a little bit different topics tonight, other than strategic rushing, at least in the beginning. But those beginning episodes with strategic rushing with T were so informative. You saw that information, noticed that there's nobody on YouTube who's putting out content related to strategic rushing. It's such an intense topic. There's so much information. And as you said, Call Me T has done so much work. I'm not even sure why I'm asking, but you've seen his most recent strategic rushing Bible that he put out as a couple months ago, is after Town Hall 16 came out.
No, I saw it. And I mean, we'll get into it a little bit as well. But like in the beginning, I used to actually, I man, I was just following T, and I feel like over like the last 2 years, because it's kind of been, I think it's, yeah, it's been like 2 years. Over the last 2 years, I've kind of like learned to also like come up with my own opinions on things. But that in the beginning, it was definitely instrumental, right? To really like, to listen to like, but T, and T's done amazing work. I mean, I don't have to say this for anybody on the pod, right? Or anything like that, but T has done just phenomenal work, And actually, one of my biggest hopes is to one day like get him on the channel one day too. That would be really amazing, because people just love T, But yeah, that work really like helped to like progress just that thinking, and it really helped out.
So something else that you're really known for, and another topic that you've really jumped on and have done an amazing job at, is hero equipment. Hero equipment is obviously all the talk of Clash of Clans right now. What do we use ore on? What types of equipment do we use? And the one thing that I love about your YouTube videos is you go in depth over each of the pieces of equipment. You're not afraid to state opposing opinions. And that's one thing that I love. I actually love YouTube. I'm not near the YouTuber that you are. Let's just be clear on that. But I did a
No, you're good.
video on the Giant Gauntlet and how if you miss the Giant Gauntlet in the Cookie Rumble event, that honestly, other than the splash damage, the Giant Gauntlet isn't that much better than the other pieces of equipment. Supercell's done a really great job at balancing Vamp Stash and Rage Vial and the Giant Gauntlet and the Barbarian Puppet. Like, there are unique uses for each of the pieces of equipment, and you're not afraid to state an opinion where people might come on your channel and say, "Hey, bro, like, you're wrong on this," or "You don't know what you're talking about." I love getting those comments because I can explain my position, and typically on YouTube, people are pretty nice about about it. I will try this on Reddit, for example, and I'll try putting my opinion on Reddit, and people are just disgusting to me, man. I mean, people are like, you're an idiot, stupid. And I don't know if you, this may be the reason or not, but with YouTube, you have the option to just shadow ban somebody. So if they're just absolutely nasty to you, then you can just press, oh, hey, yeah, you're not welcome to this conversation anymore. Get out of my YouTube videos. Or in fact, you can never make a comment on any of my videos ever again. I've only done that to two people over the 2 years or a year and a half or so that I've been doing YouTube videos. One of them, and you've probably gotten comments like this too, but one of them was, man, every time I hear your voice, I feel like I want to die a little inside. And I was just, that's crazy. Response. I was just like, wow, that's it's great. I mean, I mean, I don't have the voice of James Earl Jones. But anyway, what are your overall thoughts about Hero equipment and just maybe initial opening comments on what you recommend? And then I want to go through individually each of the heroes and talk about their pieces of equipment in a little more in depth.
Yeah, of course. A few things. I'll try to go from like one thing to another. So, the topics are not too scattered. A few things about those comments, man. Just, eventually you'll get to a point. I'm just telling you right now, I used to respond to every comment, right? Yep. I think about a year ago, I just couldn't anymore. Like there's way too many comments, right? And the best thing is like those comments that just come in and like you're checking your studio app or whatever, and you just see a negative comment. You're like, bro, in 20 seconds, this is going to be gone anyway, So you just keep going, right? But yeah, man, it's tough. I know the feeling. When it comes to those people just gaslighting you, they have nothing to do. It's okay. It's like
they
Reddit.
Have no life. Yeah, they have no life at all. And it makes me laugh. But truly, the difference between my own YouTube channel and Reddit, it's almost like I can have a nice Reddit discussion under a video. Like I can present my idea. Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be, Giant Gauntlet doesn't suck. But let's say I present a video, the Giant Gauntlet sucks, and that's my video. Mm-hmm. These are the reasons why I think it sucks. And people can comment, and they're typically pretty nice about it. They're like, well, I don't think it sucks because this, that, or the other. And I can say, oh, I see your point, but think about this, that, or whatever. And people are typically pretty nice. I do think it's because of that shadow ban capability that YouTube gives YouTube creators, to where I can just say, nope, yep, you're gone. Like, and that hasn't happened that much. Also, I'm not as big as you are. So how many YouTube subscribers do you have right now?
We just had 39,000, I think, earlier this week.
So I'm barely scraping just over 2,000. So I'm quite a bit smaller than you are. So I don't have quite as many comments, but I'm sure, as you said, I will get to a point to where the comments will just fly through, and then I'm going to have to make a decision on, sorry, I can't respond to every single comment.
No, for sure. And it comes to a lot of stuff. Honestly, we could talk about so much today. I mean, we could talk about content creation too, if you want to get into it, and like your channel, if you want to talk about that, as well as things that I would recommend for channels as well, from my very limited, experience. Right. But, there's just so much, man. I mean, going back to like the equipment, if that's okay.
Yeah.
The idea was actually, so I'm a student, right? So mm-hmm. I'm a full-time med student in the States, so it's not easy to like, just, balance is not a thing, bro. Like it just doesn't happen, I'm just surviving. That's really what it is.
In
right?
med school.
So
yeah.
if you take a look at my channel, you could tell when I had breaks. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell, like, oh, he put out two videos here, he had a break. So I had a huge break in December, right? And I told myself, like, hey, I'm gonna take advantage of this. And then I had a few editors at the time too, like freelance editors, they're working for me, so that helped a lot, right? And that's helped a lot in the consistency and things like that. But yeah, man, equipment and stuff, I mean,
you jumped on it. Like it came out, it was perfect time. You were off for the holidays, right? From mm-hmm. med school, and you said, you have the brain that work. Whenever we were talking in Discord, I was like, man, you have a T just or brain, just like T. Like T's brain is just constantly thinking numbers and how does this apply to a certain situation? And you think the same way. My brain thinks the same way. in some things, not in everything, but we're definitely neurodiverse in that perspective. So Supercell introduces Hero Equipment and you're like, holy crap, nobody else is really presenting information on this. I mean, some people did, but honestly, I watched some of those equipment videos and it's like, and the Barbarian Puppet is the best because look at all these barbs. Okay, now moving on to the Archer Queen. I was like, that's not in depth. Like, I don't want your personal experience. I want numbers. I want the reason why, you know, the Rage Vial is better than the Giant Gauntlet or the Archer Puppet is better than the Healer Puppet. Like, why? Give me numbers. Give me strategy. Like, that's what I want. And you gave the viewers that.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you saw it, did you just immediately think, oh, this is a void that I can fill? Or I just see the numbers kind of like I'm in the Matrix? Or how did you approach it?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting thing, right? So my mind was racking a lot about it. And I started, the thing is, right, like if you want to grow on the internet, right, whatever you want to do, you either have to do something better or you have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To do something better is so hard. It's so hard because when you're starting out competing against, you know, guys like, you know, Itsu. Like, for example, Itsu, right? Like, if you're making attack videos, you're competing against Itsu.
Yeah, exactly.
Itsu's a previous world champ, right?
Yep.
He's got, like, really good camera quality. He's got a great following. Dude's been number one in the world in Legends League a few times.
He's got a great personality.
Great personality, really nice guy. So what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? So you have to do something a little different, right? So, and I knew, right? Like, I was super stressed. Even right now, I'm stressed. Tomorrow, we know that the Frozen Arrow is coming out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking about these things as well, right? But, and I have an exam Monday. So, like, I'm trying to figure all this stuff out in my head. But, yeah, dude, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy, you know. Becoming a doctor sounds nice, and then you become a doctor. It's a lot, but
so big question actually. Before we get in, and I totally understand. Like one of the reasons why I don't do as I still do them on the side a little bit because I enjoy doing them. But one of the main reasons why I don't do attack strategy videos is because nobody watches them. Like if somebody wants to know how to do a Town Hall 16 Root Rider Queen Charge attack, they're going to go to Lexnos or they're going to go, you know, to Itsu, or they're going to watch Clash with Eric's channel and they're going to get all the views. They're not going to look at some teeny tiny Clash tips or I mean, even BD Legend, like BD Legend isn't known for his amazing attacking ability. So people aren't going to watch your videos just because BD Legend puts it out. So I started doing videos.
Hey, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. You just assume, bro. I'm actually so good. No, I'm joking.
And I'm actually so learned. I actually learned so much from your videos. I don't know if you noticed, but you've obviously either had lessons or you've done lots of research on the like things that you can do. So for instance, you put captions in your video. And I was like, that's genius. And I did some research on it and it was something like, 70%. Oh, excuse me. 70% of people will stay watching your video if you have captions versus if you don't. Or like in your video notes, you put a little bit about you, your nationality, stuff that you like. And I was like, this is genius. And so I took some of your ideas. I was like, oh, that's perfect. Even down to like your thumbnails. Like your thumbnails, they're simple. They put, you know, they have a point and that's it. Like I personally have learned so much from your videos. So definitely thank you on that. I appreciate that.
Of course, of course. And I think thumbnails is like where really like the difference is made. So like you've made a few videos that I knew they were going to do well. You know, the reason Town Hall 16 came out early, right? That thumbnail, dude, was solid. You know, and a lot of people get it confused, right? Like we look at really like high quality thumbnails. Like, you know, I'm like Blueprint design on the thumbnails.
Amazing thumbnails.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah,
like the design is amazing, but design is nothing next to psychology. It's nothing. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's flashy.
So it's just flashy, right? But
yep.
But what really earns the click is the psychology, right? So basically for any creators really, and even myself, like I look at the videos that do bad and I go back and almost all the time it's like packaging, right? Or the concept itself, you know. If you're gonna make a video about, you know, how fast the goblin is running across the map, I mean, brother, you know, I don't know if anybody's gonna wanna watch that. You know, like the topic itself is just not that interesting, right? But the way you frame the topic is super interesting. So even if you do, like even if somebody does attack strategies, the way you frame that topic is really important. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it really all comes down to packaging, right? And that video that you made, I remember seeing it on the first day. Like I didn't watch the video, but I saw it on my homepage and I just told myself, like, yeah, this video is gonna do well. Like this is intriguing. It stopped me, you know, the thumbnail and the packaging on that, right? And as far as I know, I think it ended up doing pretty well as well,
It
right?
did, yeah. It has 50,000 or so views.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. That's good. So like, yeah, when it comes down to like just everything. Yes, the captions and stuff, those things are nice and they come with time, right? I've failed a lot, right? I've made a lot of bad videos. I had channels before this one, or I had a channel before this one, and you know, I've been everywhere, Minecraft, Fortnite, you know what I'm saying? Like I've tried all of these things,
I didn't
Clash
know that.
Royale at some point.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. So I've done all of those things and I failed a lot. And then you pick up those things along the way. But the number one thing is packaging, because I remember there's a YouTuber, I can't remember his name, Max English 2-3, something like that, right? He made one video on strategic rushing, and he had like 200 subs, but he got like 20 25,000 views in like a week or two, right?
Wow.
His packaging was just genius, you know what I'm saying? The video itself, like the video itself was not like it was not like he had a high quality camera or like high quality editing or anything like that. He had good points, right? He was just talking about strategic rushing, right? But just the thumbnail was so good. It was so good. It was just a picture of like a Town Hall 15 with like little like rush defenses around it, and then the text was rushing equals genius, and then a few question marks and exclamation points, right? And the title was "We're all wasting our time." Perfect. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying? The
yeah.
psychology is great, right? So yeah, that's like one of the main things, right? I think when it comes down to that is thumbnails. And I would love to see like creators that we have right now just experiment more with that. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, right? Because when you start making a living and when when you gotta feed a family and stuff, I get that. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to experiment too much. And it could be like, it could be hard for you, right? Or some people don't care, right, about growing any more or any faster than they are. And that's fine too, right? It really just comes down to what your goals are. But yeah, I would love to see that. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see that, right?
So
Just be so nice.
big question for you. Obviously you're into content creation and eventually you're going to become a doctor. One of the YouTubers that I love his story, I love his attitude. He actually did an interview with Clash with Ash on YouTube. And if you haven't watched it, amazing interview where he talked about staying positive and becoming a YouTuber, how you can grow as a YouTuber, like really great video. But he had to make the decision because he was a physical therapist. Am I going to step away from this craft that I have prepared for and trained for in order to do YouTube full time? And obviously he made the right decision. Have you thought about that at all?
So I it's been something that's on my mind, but like it's hard. Like I know that it's a solid decision, right? And I'm saying this tentatively, right? I know that it's a good decision to quit. But the thing is, like, it's like if I was working a day job right now, tip, I'd have quit 3 months ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was just working like a job, right, to just get some money, right? But like what I'm doing, obviously it's expensive, but there's really good job security, and it's just a good thing to do, right? Like, just in general, right? It's a good thing to, like to be able to heal people and to have a positive impact on the community, right? So it's hard, But to be frank, I'm broke. So right now that decision is not even, you know what I'm saying? So I always kind of run through this in my head. I'm like, okay, am I gonna take this up to my brother? Or my brother helps me out a lot. Am I gonna take this up to my brother? And he's probably gonna ask like, hey, how much money did you make? And then I'm gonna be like, oh, well, maybe, maybe I should calm down a little bit, right? So, but I've thought about it, but I told myself, until I'm getting to that point where the numbers are looking like, hey, I could do this, then I would do that. And also, like, I have to do rotations next year as long as I pass boards. But the way the update's coming out right now, man, I don't know. No, I'm joking. But
No, well,
as long,
they have hopped on it. And the one thing that I love about Judo Sloth, for example, is I don't know if you've watched any of his earlier videos, but he did exactly what you're doing and exactly what I'm doing with his channel. He was not an attack specialist because he understood. I mean, I've watched Judo attack. He's not a bad attacker at all. Like he's a good attacker,
No.
but he's not as good as Lex Nose or as Itsu or even as like Eric. He's never been to Worlds. He understood that the YouTube audience is not going to watch him for his attacking content. So he made really cool videos on upgrading. Kenny Joe is another perfect example. Kenny Joe, I've never seen Kenny Joe attack. I don't know if he sucks or not, but I love watching his videos because he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Like he brings a concept, and that's something else that I've learned from Kenny Joe, for example, is he will do a Let's Play series, which I'm not sure if you think that the Let's Play idea is kind of dying out. I think it is in Clash of Clans, but during his Let's Play series, he would introduce different subjects. So sure, this was day number 142 of Let's Play Town Hall 12, which is totally boring and nobody's going to click on that video. But because his thumbnail and his title was "Today we looted 15 million in resources," you know, or something crazy like that. Or, you know, he's well known for the Goblin Knife. And he did, you know, all these, the strategy of being able to gain as much dark. I mean, I'm coming off up with this up to the top of my head, but gain 10,000 dark elixir every minute with this strategy, you know, or something like that. Right. He was able to grow and become successful in his field and in his craft because he looked at the game differently than just attacking. And I see so many YouTubers nowadays, and who am I to talk, right? But I see so many YouTubers who are like, oh, I'm going to show the three best attacks in my clan, you know, every war. And I want to try to build my YouTube following doing that. And I want to shake them and say, look, this is not the days of Jake from One Hive where you can pop a beer and show the top three attacks and expect your YouTube channel to grow. You know, it's just not going to happen. So I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I real quickly, I think about this a lot, right? And I talk to guys that are growing too, right? Other channels, Asher, Corrupt, Seth, right? I talk to these guys, you know, and of course, my door is always open for you as well, right? So
I appreciate
hit me up with anything, you know, even thumbnail feedback or anything like that, because I think it really just helps, right? We all just learn a lot faster. But you know, I thought about exactly what you're talking about, right? Like the thing is, you have to be really good at one. Like you have to own the domain on something, right?
Yep.
So a lot of my growth was because what you said, right? Like nobody's talking about strategic rushing. So I basically, you know, when it comes to YouTube, right? Obviously, not otherwise, you know, that's tea. But like when it comes to YouTube, right? That was my domain. Like everybody knew, okay, strategic rushing, I'm gonna go to this guy, you know, and that helps you grow, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it comes to like judo, just the production value is insane and his entertainment value is insane. His storytelling is insane. Judo is just higher levels when it comes to just all of those things. I think Kenny does a great job too. You know, one thing I love about Kenny's content, right, is his thumbnails. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, dude. Like he works on those thumbnails and he makes them really good. And dude, I appreciate that. You know, and a lot of developing players, he really targets what a lot of those developing players are going through, and that's just really smart and it's helpful, right? So
it's an ignored segment of the Clash of Clans population. Like when you think of Clash of Clans YouTubers, I mean, Kenny Joe's not necessarily the first YouTuber that you think about. In fact, I've been in Discord conversations where people are like, what, Kenny, like who, Kenny Joe? I'm like, yeah, the dude has like 500,000 followers on YouTube because he's hitting them. And if you, I think you just showed a graph on your YouTube channel, or maybe it was in one of your videos that I watched, where the majority of the Clash of Clans population is not at Town Hall 16. They don't care. They don't give one flying flip about Root Riders because they can't even get them right now. They're a year away from getting them. So they want to watch a video on Town Hall 12, but then also you can't necessarily have an attacking video at Town Hall 12 because there have already been so many attacking videos at Town Hall 12. So you have to hit that population in a different way, which Kenny Joe is just a genius at. I love it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And, real quick on the note of Let's Plays, I do think the idea of just a straight Let's Play is just terrible. It's not interesting, like you were saying, right? But I think anytime you can add a twist, it's good. So I started a Let's Play, for a strategic rushing Let's Play last year. Dude, I could not keep up with it. I can barely play the game. Like if I'm being real with you, I barely play. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like not getting star bonuses and stuff. You know, so it's wild, but. I couldn't keep up with it, but I think like you were saying, if you add a twist, if you add anything, right, I think the series can do really well, right? And that could be your personality through it too, right? It just depends what your value prop is and what your audience values. And that's like really important to figure out, you know?
Yeah, I think approaching it from a different perspective, because I'm actually doing a Let's Play series right now, but it's not a Let's Play series. And I don't know if you've watched any of my videos, but I'm building up a strategic rush base right now. I started in September and then I'm
Nice.
giving updates, but my updates are not in the form of a Let's Play. It's typically every 15 to 30 days, I'll do a video on this base, but it's not, hey, this is a Let's Play day number whatever. So for
Right.
instance, my last video I put out 2 days ago, it has about 2,000 views right now. And it was, when exactly should you upgrade to the next town hall? And my thumbnail was of, the buttons that are below the town hall whenever you're ready to press it. And then I took the little
Right.
barbarian that's about to press the subscribe button. I'm not sure if you that it's pretty out there, the little barbarian who smashes the subscribe button and turns into a bell. So I took the picture of that and put it to where the barbarian was about to smash the upgrade button on the town hall, and it's done very well. But that is kind of a Let's Play series because it's based around that one specific base, that strategic rush base that I'm doing. My next video is going to be going up to Town Hall 14, and I'm going to integrate pets into that. What's the best pets to upgrade at Town Hall 14? But it's
Let's
still a
go.
Let's Play series because it's still based upon that one base that I'm slowly upgrading. But I'm also not in med school, so
No, you're
have
good.
a little more time than BD Legend does.
No, that's good, dude. And I'm just taking a look at it in general, right? And no, I like what you're doing with your thumbnails. You know, they're getting better. Especially the last three videos, I like it. And
Do you have any feedback? Like I know we're in the middle of a podcast right now, and people
oh,
listening are
dude.
probably like, what the heck? But do you have any
Honestly,
feedback initially?
let
I'm
me just tell
solely
you,
selfish.
just make this a content creation episode, bro, and we'll just go all in, right? But so my feedback is this. I really like the I really so one thing is that you get 70 characters in your title, right? So you utilize that. I'll send you a workshop right after this, but you know who Ed is from Film Booth?
I've heard the name, yeah.
Ed is like when it comes to YouTube education, I feel like he's my favorite source. Ed made a workshop basically for an hour where he's talking about how to write scripts better. But the scripts, if you base them off of your packaging, you need to have good packaging, right? And he basically says, and I'll send it to you so you can watch it in full, but in synopsis, there's four things that really make a good thumbnail and title. And he calls it the Benz system, BENS. And that is a big or a bold statement, something that's super easy, something that is new, and then something that is safe, so they feel safe about it, right? So I personally, because I've been busy lately, any of the videos that I've had with the system has I haven't been able to do, you know what I'm saying? So I'm still waiting on those videos to get edited right now. But for example, your video is like, when exactly should you go to the next town hall level, right? I think that's really solid, right? But if you
What
were to
will be a
implement
better
the
title?
system, yeah. So for example, I'm just thinking real quick. So the thing about like when exactly should you go to the next town hall level is that I'm not really getting safety or I'm not getting the ease of it, right? So if I had to let me think here for a second.
So my thumbnails, for example, have gotten better. A lot in part, honestly, is because I look at your thumbnails. And I'm like, well, man, this guy knows what he's doing. And I've watched a ton of videos. All of this, I'm not a graphic designer, I'm not a graphic artist, but all of this is just me doing my own research, realizing that, for instance, I watched a YouTube video the other day that said you should never put words in your thumbnail. Never, never have words. My and I agree with that. So I agree with that, to a point. So, for instance, taking the next town hall thumbnail, I put the barbarian in it. I put, the town hall little tabs in there, and there was a huge gaping hole in the top right of the thumbnail. I tried. It's so funny because my wife was watching me do it. I tried putting the little butterflies, you know, that sometimes you see around the base. I was like, well, this will kind of fill the hole. So I put two little butterflies in there and I was like, nah, like that's not right. And then I was like, well, I got to have something there because it just feels like there's a hole. So I put the words do this first. It felt right. But then also like I'm still learning about video titles as well.
Yeah.
One thing that I have kind of learned is attention grabbing by capitalizing a specific word in the title will help.
Right. Yeah.
But also I think that viewers recognize when you're trying to capture their attention.
Yeah.
So if you put, you know, if you use the word unstoppable in every other video or smashes bases in every other video, every Clash YouTuber uses those key words. So they're gonna be like, oh, you're just like everybody else. And we just talked about the value proposition of taking specific words, owning those words. And so as an inexperienced YouTuber as myself, I try to think of the words that will grab somebody, but they're also not overused already in a very saturated Clash of Clans market. So the word, for example, that I bolded in this title was exactly, because I was thinking somebody's like, oh, okay, if I watch this video, then I can then know exactly when to press my town hall button. Although I 100% recognize that I'm a novice in video titles, and bringing that safety, bringing that intrigue into the video title is something that I still have a lot of work to do on. My thumbnails as well, I have a lot of work to do. I'm getting better, mainly from watching videos, from looking at YouTubers such as yourself. Another YouTuber, I'm not sure if you've checked out his videos or not, but they are genius, is Dysfunctional. Have you watched
Dysfunctional,
any of his stuff?
Dude. Oh my gosh.
He's a genius. Like he'll have the town hall with a black background and one freaking word. And I'm like, how in the heck? And sometimes it's like, you know, he's not done a video on this, but sometimes it's, you know, you have those bases that have the holes in it where you're trying to catch players in that, trick them, blah, blah, blah. He'll have, you know, a blurred out section, all black, except for this one where you can see and you can tell, oh, there's nothing in this. And right next to that, he'll have hole.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's not a black background. And then he'll have some, you know, very simple title. And then granted, his editing's good. His scripts are good. Like all of that is really good. So nothing, you know, but just the simplicity of it. And I'm trying, I want to, it's so funny. I did a video today actually for my buddy, Scotty 827, who I just had on the last podcast episode.
Yeah. Listen to that. Yeah.
He's super great guy, but he just went to Town Hall 13 and he was looking for an attack that he could use that's more spammy because that's his style. And so I thought, well, let me make a video for him. I normally don't like doing a lot of attack videos because they're not really watched, but I'm going to do that for him. And as I was doing my thumbnail, I don't know what else to do other than a blueprint style thumbnail. And so I was doing my thumbnail and I went to blueprint. I'm like, okay, so in blueprint, they'll have one white word and a yellow word. Okay. So check. I've done that. Okay. They take their pictures, they up the clarity, they up the, I forget the other word, the vignette on it to where it's darker around the corners. Like I look at all their thumbnails and I'm like, well, I don't really know. This is going to blend into the background, but I don't know what else to do. But the attack that I explained how to use was Ocho Cueco. And so I thought, well, I haven't really seen Ocho Cueco like that much out in the Clash of Clans community. And so those are the words that I put on the thumbnail, Ocho Cueco, kind of hoping that that would bring somebody in. And then I think the word that I capitalized in the video is hit easy mode. I can tell you right now, but it's something like hit easy mode. Oh, turn on easy mode when attacking at Town Hall 13, and easy is the all capitalized word.
Yeah.
So break me down. Tell me where I'm wrong. Give me some ideas.
So, This is great, and I'm happy to hear this because I know you're cooking now. You know what I'm saying? The best thing is when you're thinking about it, and also like we're all novices, like and you know I'm not gonna pretend like I got it figured out too. I go through these same things. You know what I'm saying? Every time I upload a video, I'm like, man, you know what should I include? What should I not? This doesn't cover the concept. Oh, this thumbnail has too many elements. You know, things like that, right? But that's why you know we're all doing this, and it helps out to like be with people who are doing this because we just learn. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to that thumbnail specifically, I think you could really hone in on the fact that it's an old attack. You know what I'm saying? And it's a forgotten attack even, right? So you could for example, so you're making it say you're making it easy, you're saying easy, right? Easy is a really easy way to make things seem easy, right? Safety, I feel like safety really comes like when you're saying things, right? Like for example, like if you were to say, hey, the giant gauntlet is not good, right? One thing I do, and you've probably seen this, is I put in parentheses with proof. So people are like, okay, he's gonna
Yes.
prove it.
Oh,
You
I
know what I'm
love
saying?
that. I
So
love
it's
that. They're
like,
like, and you get the bros. You get the bros that come to your channel, like, yo, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
yeah.
man.
So
I love it.
you're good. You're good. So that's one thing. So you could talk about and just create intrigue about the attack in general, right? Maybe instead of giving the attack away in the thumbnail, and people are like, oh, you know, I already know what Ocho Cueco is. You could maybe silhouette the attack, or silhouette the troops in the attack. Make it look like amorphous, you know, so they can't really tell what it is, right? And then maybe like have an arrow point to it, or like text that just says like revived in the thumbnail. And then and the title could be something like this forgotten attack. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, no, and you're giving me lots of ideas. Like you
Like this attack, this easy attack. Or no.
It see, it's tough.
This
It's
forgotten
tough.
attack becomes super easy after the updates or something. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I can say something to invokes the feeling of safety in players. I can be like, this troop will bake you warm, soft chocolate chip cookies after you do every single attack.
I'm dead. I'm dead. Yo, hit me up with that troop. You know, I could use some chocolate chip cookies, you know.
Especially med school, man. Do
Don't
you
tell my
have a
doctor though, bro.
Do you have a so I know I work on college campuses all the time. I'm a sign language interpreter, so I work in a medical field. I work in college classes, and a lot of college classes
Nice.
or a lot of college facilities have a what is it called? Midnight cookies or what's it called?
Oh
They're
yeah,
amazing, but they're
like
open till
crumble
like
cookies or like,
4 a.m. and they're always next to college campuses, and they're just these
oh, insomnia
amazing
cookies?
insomnia cookies. That's what it is. They're freaking
Yeah, that stuff is good,
everywhere.
man.
Dude, that evokes feelings of safety for me right there. Maybe I could say the
Yeah.
insomnia attack. I don't know.
I'm dead. I'm dead. Yeah, actually, I don't live on campus. I go to a remote site, so I'm actually commuting from home. You know, which is low key. It's nice, man. I don't want to be on campus. You know,
Oh,
save a
yeah.
lot of money. I can come home to spend time with the fam and stuff, right? So,
Very cool.
and I can do this, right? So yeah. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll send you a few things. There's also three emotions that you really want to like. Have at least two of in your titles. This is from a different workshop. It's like curiosity, desire, and fear. If you have a good combination of curiosity and one or the other ones, you're usually in a good spot. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, thumbnails are like the thing. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to elements, I personally feel if you can demonstrate a concept in 2 to 3 elements, that would be the best. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I really tried to hone in my thumbnails. Like I really want, like, I just want whatever's important to the person, and then I just want to hone in on that, you know? So that's another thing, right? And just make sure the thumbnails don't get like too busy, right? This blue background that I, you know, kind of was experimenting with really worked out because it simplifies things a lot, you know? And it's kind of like a little bit of branding. Like they can recognize that, hey, this dude made this video because nobody else is doing video thumbnails like that, you know? But yeah, and I think that, and also like one thing that that really helped me out in December particularly was like thinking about the audience, right? Like, what do they want? You know what I'm saying? So before I came up with this series of videos about the equipment, I thought to myself, okay, my audience is like particularly the people who like strategic rushing. These are the math nerds of the game. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything bad about them, right? Like I am too.
Yeah, I am 100%.
Yeah, and these are, I'm just saying, just in case, you know, my viewers start watching, you know, they're gonna be like, bro, this guy called us a nerd on the podcast. That's crazy, you know. Then they're gonna leave one of those comments, you know, see that in the app. No,
Well, the
but
beautiful thing is you can't leave comments on podcasts, so we don't have anything to worry about. Well, I guess technically they could leave a review, although whatever. I mean, leave a bad review, it's all good.
But yeah, so I was just thinking, okay, these people really want analytical stuff, right? And whenever these types of new updates come out, right, they probably barely ever get that. And this is very like, sometimes I get ideas from things that have nothing to do with Clash of Clans, you know, just YouTubers and other spaces and stuff like that. This is a guy named JGod. He makes videos for Warzone in Call of Duty. And what he does, and when I used to play a little bit of Warzone, whenever a new patch would come out, he would literally get on in the game and just like mark the number of steps that it takes for a weapon to kill, like in 2 bullets, 3 bullets, whatever, you know.
That is crazy.
JGod, he would get 1 million views in like a day. Like people were just all over it, you know. And his videos were not like highly edited. He'd be sitting right here. There's an Excel spreadsheet next to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey guys, what's going on? You know, but it was just that value, you know. So that was one of the things I was thinking about. I was like, you know, let me see what I can do. And look, my calculations aren't always correct either. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that I'm purposefully putting them out wrong. Sometimes people point out that, hey, you should take into consideration this, and you should take into consideration this. But they're still getting tons of like views and stuff, not because, you know, people think that they're correct, but it's because people are interested in seeing information presented in that way, right? Yeah, go ahead.
So I wouldn't say that it's miscalculations. I would say it's a misjudgment. And to me,
Right,
like,
yeah.
there's a big difference in that, because I've made plenty of misjudgments. I put out a video about the Giant Gauntlet, and my whole purpose with putting out the Giant Gauntlet was because I felt bad for players who did not get the Giant Gauntlet in the Cookie Rumble event, and I
Yeah.
wanted to assure them that it's okay. Like, if you run the numbers and if you look at the numbers, the Giant Gauntlet is pretty much equal with the others. In fact, the others, in a lot of instances, is better than. And a lot of people comment on the video and pointed out, A, that a lot of pro players are using the Giant Gauntlet, and that many pro players can't be wrong for using the Giant
Yeah.
Gauntlet, which I
Yeah.
agree. And then a lot of them pointed out splash damage, which I did not point out in that
Yeah.
video. And I knew that the splash damage was a thing, but I did not point that out. That was an error on my part. That's a huge part of the King's equipment that needs to be noticed. But then also, like, I went back and I ran the numbers, and numbers wise, the gauntlet isn't anything special. I mean, we're actually going to hold it for next episode, but
Sure, yeah.
looking at the numbers, like, there's not that much difference between the Rage Vial, the Giant Gauntlet, the Vamp Stash, and the Barbarian Puppet. Like, they all offer unique perspectives on the game. But the reason that the pro players are using the Giant Gauntlet to such great effect is because of the splash damage, because they're using it in ways that your normal player is not. So your normal
Yeah.
player is not doing this super complicated Sui Hero entry into the corner of a base or a queen charge, and then they funnel the king into this perfect spot where there's likely to be skeleton traps. So for those players, I'm still correct. For those players,
Right.
the Giant Gauntlet still is a lousy option compared to the Rage Vial or the Vamp Stash. In fact, I very firmly believe that the Vamp Stash is the best option for the majority of Clash of Clans players because of how they
Okay.
use it. They just kind of send their king in, whatever, and he just walks around
Okay,
the
I see.
base. But to
Yeah.
get back to the point, I don't think that it's necessarily a miscalculation, just maybe more of a misjudgment on my part. And I think that's the same with you. Like, I just think that there are things, you look at the numbers, you make your initial opinion on whatever it is, strategic rushing, hero equipment, you know, gold calculations, gemming, whatever it may be, the topic is, and you make a judgment call on that, you may miss a minor piece of information. And so you don't see it until a commenter or somebody else points that out to you. But I wouldn't say it's a miscalculation. It's more of a misjudgment call on your part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, the key thing about all of this though, is that you recognize that, and then you just kind of keep it in mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
If people decide that, you know, hey, I'm going to stop watching you. I've thought about this, right? And like, if people decide, hey, I'm going to stop watching you because you messed up right here, that's on them. Like you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to be perfect. Right. What people don't realize also is that as content creators, the actual time that I'm taking apart to do such calculations is very minimal compared to the time that's going in to produce this video, right? Thumbnail, scripting, editing, right? There's so much to do, right? So it's like, okay, well, you know, if I did sit here, that's why, like, you know, like T, for example, will always be a great source, you know, because T can sit here, right? And he can, I'm not assuming to know anything about T's life. I'm just saying that, like, he can sit here really focus in on those calculations and he's good at that. You know what I'm saying? So that helps, right? For creators to turn that around as well is like really hard, you know? It's really hard. It's a lot of things to do at once.
To put it, it's, for example, I'm reading Brandon Sanderson's Way of Kings series right now.
No way, dude.
Yes.
Really?
I love it.
I'm reading Mistborn. I'm taking a break right now, but I'm on the third Mistborn book. But
so I have the Mistborn books, but I have not, like, that's my next series. I'm on the third right now. What is it? Radiance, I think. But it's each book is like 1200 pages. So you're talking 6,000 pages of information, and they haven't made a book on that. The Wheel of Time is a perfect example where Wheel of Time is what, 16 books. Interestingly enough, Brandon Sanderson wrote what, the last three books of the Wheel of Time. But taking all of that information and picking out what's important and then transferring that to the screen is essentially what we're doing as YouTube creators. You're taking T's Bible, which is, I don't know the pages. I'm sure T knows. It's like 30 or 40 pages or 50 pages of information. And then saying, okay, how can I transfer this information into a way that's interesting for the average YouTube viewer to watch? Because let's just be honest, even with T's posts, I've read his posts and read it. It's great information. It's awesome. Players like us love it. We eat it up, but he'll get like 500 likes, maybe 1,000 likes, upvotes on his Reddit post. And then someone freaking posts a baby dragon in a clown costume and they get 5,000 upvotes, right?
Yeah.
Like it's, and those are the players as a YouTuber, we have to take T's content or whatever topic, hero equipment, whatever it may be, look at the numbers, and then whether we're creating the numbers. I have some extra time on my hands, like in the evenings, and I have the opportunity to do stuff like this, talk to really cool people about YouTube, but I have some time to break down some numbers myself. But being able to look at that and then transfer it into a way that's edible and bites by the average YouTube viewer, that's the difficult part. I'm sure that's exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest skills. And that's why, like, I don't go through all the comments. Like, one of the things that that I would recommend you do too is, like, go back in your old videos and see, like, what the top liked comments are, you know? And then take that feedback and then just implement it, right? And what will eventually happening is that, like, you'll stop thinking about how do I present this information? And the key thing is to start thinking about how are people receiving this information? Because it doesn't matter, right? Like, what you're saying doesn't matter if people, A, don't understand it or they're thinking something different, right? If you can understand, like, what people are thinking, it's not easy to do. I'm not going to say I'm good at this. But if you can understand what people are thinking, right, or reacting to, like, what you're putting out, you can read their mind. And people, when you read their mind, they get really engaged. They're like, oh shoot, well, he knew I was going to talk about this. Like, how did he know that? But okay, let me see what he has to say, right? Well, and then they're thinking, you know, as you're going through, well, yeah, the giant gauntlet is really good. It's doing XYZ, blah, 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 blah. And they're probably thinking, oh man, but it's kind of expensive. Like, is it worth me? So now you're thinking, is it worth you putting, you know, and then they're like, whoa, what's, you know, like, so putting that extra bit of thought in and like thinking about those things is like is super important as well, you know. It's just not easy to do, man, and it's not easy to be consistent with it either. Sometimes you go off, and then sometimes you're like, you know, what happened? But you just try to do the best you can, right?
Yeah, so I'm actually in the process of making a video right now. So typically it takes me a few hours, three. I would, am I so on my best videos. So for instance, the why Supercell rushed out Town Hall 16 so soon. I would say the research that I did on that, just crawling Google, looking at the numbers, 5 or 6 hours at least on just the research, not even creating the script. But I'm doing the research right now. Hopefully we'll have it done within the next day or two. Video may be out on Sunday, but it's from something that you said in your video where you commented on whether or not it's of greater value to get the Book of Heroes or of greater value to buy ores. And you specifically mentioned gems, but I thought there are a lot of players who are out there and they're thinking, I have these what is it? It's red envelopes. Is that what the new Dragon Festival, red envelopes? I have 3,000 red envelopes. A book of heroes costs, I don't know how much, a 1,500 red envelopes, or I can get starry ore for 500. Like what's best to spend my money on and why? And so I'm doing the research on, well, and you made it a very definitive statement and that it's pretty clear cut or is better most of the time. I'm going to kind of go into it a little more detail to say, well, if your heroes are at 4 days of upgrading, then it's probably not best to go with the Book of Heroes. If your heroes are at 80 and it's at 7 days of upgrading, then consider these factors because it may be, you know, you're going to get a 3% increase in your king's power. If you upgrade this ability with 500 or 1,000 ore, you're going to get a 4% upgrade in ability if you upgrade your king from 79 to 80. And I'm going to show the breakdown of those differences between the king upgrading one level versus you upgrading his equipment one level and how much power you get through each. But I kind of got that, you know, that breakdown from your video. Working on it now, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I hope it goes well. It's actually funny. I have a video in edit right now that's about like the best way to use your resources. So like CWL metals, gems, and what's the other one, dude?
Raid metals.
Raid metals. Yeah. So the best way to use them, right? So I have a video right now processing in that because I wanted to readdress that topic as well, and then I have another video. I'm gonna make another video about like the best way to spend like whatever, you know, your dragon things and like go through that. But I also think like I think that's really interesting. I started getting into like these ideas in my head. Like I know that everything is situational, right? But situational is not digestible. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy, right? So that you have to draw a balance sometimes, right? And I know some people are going to say, hey, like your advice is kind of wishy-washy because you're saying it's situational. I've thought about that, but it is situational, right? But I've just thought about like just in general. And to be honest, Tip, like I really don't think Books of Heroes, I mean, you know, people can, you know, shoot me or whatever, but like I really don't think Books of Heroes are as good as they are anymore. And that has major implications in the game. So I've been thinking about this in the last day or so, right? Because look, if you have a hero potion you're spending on Books of Heroes, it actually does, it doesn't make a practical difference for you in wars, right? Yes, in your attacks, it will make a practical difference, like everyday attacks or whatever. But if you don't care about those, if you're using E-Drags or whatever, right? I mean, right? Like, why would it matter to you, right? So I've been telling players just to not upgrade their heroes, and this is like kind of like I've diverged from T a little bit. I think T, from what I heard, he's still recommending people upgrade their heroes. I've been recommending against that actually. I've been telling players to get higher, use your hero potions, get the max value out of them while you still can, right? Because the more you don't, it's weird. The more you don't upgrade your heroes, the more value the hero potion has, right? And the more opportunity cost you have towards buildings to get you to Town Hall 14. And the main thing is you want to get there so that obviously your magic items get great value, right? So anyways, I'm like diverging a lot here,
Yeah, no,
but
that's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I get it.
yeah. And but when it comes to the Books of Heroes, The reason it has ramifications, and I thought about this too. Now, the reason I said people should invest into Ors is because there's no other accelerator, right? In the game currently, and currently players are at a level where they don't have enough ores to max the pieces of equipment that they currently need, right? If it gets to the point where players have max pieces of equipment already, and you know they're coming out with new pieces of equipment that nobody really has interested in, then you would just shift, right? But I don't think that's the case yet, right? From like the numbers themselves, I haven't been fully efficient myself, but I don't know a lot of players who are just like fully maxed, you know? And so that's one thing, right? But the other reason it has major ramifications is because we used to assess good book value and good shop value out of the Book of Heroes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So before we used to say 500 gems, they get you a Book of Heroes. So any book that you get for less than $5, good deal, right?
Yeah.
Now I don't know anymore. Oh, what if you get a book for $6? Is that a good deal?
I
Well, the
am.
Book of Heroes is not even, you know, as relevant anymore, right? So I wouldn't spend that $5 towards the Book of Heroes, right? So
Interesting.
that
Yeah.
$5 would go towards something else, right? And the price point for a book of building, for example, is like whatever, it's like $9, right? $9, $9.5, right? If we're being really picky
Yeah,
about it, right?
925, technically. Come on.
925, right?
Let's be
Technically,
specific.
I got you, I got you, you know, I got you. Man, he's on me today. Okay, but yeah, 925, right? So that's the price point, right, for that, right? So then it's like, okay, well, it's a book more valuable if it comes at 925. Most of the books come for cheaper than that, right?
Right.
But if a book comes at $7, is it worth your money? Is it if it comes at $5, is it worth your money? Ooh, now it gets interesting, right? So that's something that I've been thinking about a little bit, right? Like how that kind of value has
Value
changed, right?
proposition, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not fully sure. I mean, for the moment, I mean, any book you get for less than $5, I still think that's a great deal, right? Especially if it's a useful book. So not books of spells, right? Useful books.
That's
So
so funny.
yeah. No, I mean, I was just talking about it in the video. I'm like, hammers of spells, please don't do this. You know, like, don't. It's not worth it. Especially if you're a gold pass player. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I forgot what we were talking about originally, man. This is what happens.
No, you're good. So we're definitely going to go over this in a future episode. But to just kind of wrap up this episode, this basically turned into the what do I need to do as a class YouTuber? And maybe listeners will find that interesting. Maybe they won't. Because I mean, the majority of your class players are not interested in YouTubing. But if you could give Tip Dog 20 one piece of advice, or any YouTuber that's just starting out. I mean, so the typical advice is, and I even when Judah was interviewed by Clash with Ash asked him this question, and this is just the traditional answer: put out as much content as you can on a regular basis. Like, just do it. Put out video after it, but be regular. So don't put out a video every single day if you can't keep up putting out a video every single day for the next 2 years, because that's how long it's going to take for you even to get the minimus traction on your videos. So if you can't do every day for 2 years, don't start off doing every day for 2 years, but put out as many videos as you can. And just the act of putting out videos is what is going to help you be a successful YouTuber. For me, that's 2 to 3 videos a week. Like, that's what I have time to do. That's what I have research to do. I try not to let time pass. And I know it's a little more difficult for you because you're in med school, but I try not to let more than 3 days pass without me putting out a video. I have a list of topics that there are 100 different topics that have come to mind. I've written them down. I can make a video on this. And I just go through that list on a constant basis. Okay, if I made a video, what would I do? But what snippet or tidbit of advice would you give for me or anybody who's looking at starting a YouTube channel? Clash of Clans or really anything else?
Of course. So just to preface, I'm not like a crazy pro. Like I
But
haven't
you
done this
know what you're
successfully
doing.
multiple times.
It's obvious you know what you're doing. I mean, you have 30,000, 40,000 subscribers right now, but the potent anybody who looked at your channel would say, oh yeah, if this guy keeps up with it, if you have time, granted you have boards, you have, your internship to do, all of that. if you pursued this path, even if it's only during your break, spring break, summer break, you know, in between classes, whatever, if you pursued it, it's obvious that if you continue down this path, that you're going to be successful. So no need to preface that.
Okay, of course. So here's what I would say. First of all, when it comes to the advice of just putting out videos consistently, there's a reason that advice is given, right? And the reason that advice is given is because you have to, it's like prerequisites for a class, right? If you're applying to a college, you know, you have to have, you know, whatever, your math, your biology credit, your this and that, right? Because they have to know that you'll make it. You know what I'm saying? So creating consistent content, the reason that people advise that, I think personally, is so that you get in the flow of things and you feel like you can consistently make videos, right? My biggest advice to you is that do that, for sure, do that, right? But you don't have to have like a distinct upload schedule either, right? And the thing is this, right? There are two creators, right? One, say Judo didn't upload for a month. Let's be honest. Judo didn't upload for a month, right? But then he uploaded a video after that month. Do you think he'd lose viewership?
No, I don't think so. Because he has his following. Right? Yeah, of course.
Because he has his following, yes. But because people know it's going to be a good video.
Yeah.
Right? So don't make videos for the sake of making videos.
Yep.
Right? Because think about it. Your audience is going to be like, he just made a bad video. Or like, oh, okay, so this video is good. The next one is bad. Then it's like it's a crapshoot, right? Like, they don't know if it's going to be good or not, right? But make videos, try to make something better each time and focus on packaging. Because at the end of the day, you could do a ton of things. You could put captions in your videos. You could implement storytelling. You could have the most advanced graphics. You could have XYZ. You could have, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have green screen effects. You could have, barbarians coming to life in your video. You could do anything you want. If nobody comes to that video, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it literally doesn't matter, right? So work on packaging. Learn packaging. There are a lot of videos out there that, like, there are just a lot of channels out there that their videos, quote unquote videos, are not like the most highly produced or the most insane. And sure, there's a bunch of things they can improve, you know? But they have insane packaging and thus get insane views, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think Dysfunctional makes great videos, but some of the first few videos he made, right? They were good. They were like interesting. I was like, okay, there could be some work done here. There was no background music. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like I couldn't follow the video sometimes, right? But the dude killed packaging. Like, he killed packaging.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he just knew. And the crazy thing about Dysfunctional, and I want you to think about this too, Tip, is like, the crazy thing about Dysfunctional is that he was getting ridiculous views. He was getting the views I'm getting during a trending event, talking about something that's not trending.
Yeah. And that's huge. Yeah.
So yeah, and think about the depth of the audience now, right? Like, think about the amount of people that are actually there. Right, like that people like that will actually watch if you get packaging correct, right? Yep. And again, I'm not taking slights on anybody. I'm not trying to say anything like that, right? I mean, I respect the creators, right, and the community that we have. It's amazing. I just want us all to get better, you know. And I mean, just the amount of like emphasis on packaging is just insane, right? And if you find a way to package, and a lot of people are gonna say, oh, okay, you're promoting clickbait. My definition of clickbait is when you promise that somebody's going to get something on that thumbnail or in the video, and it's like, they don't, right? And they're just not satisfied with the video, right? But even like, you know, for example, like Hallow, for example, right? Hallow's another channel, you know, I don't know if you know the story of Hallow, but that's KFC Clash. But Hallow was a channel that literally had like thumbnails that were kind of clickbaity. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were just things in the thumbnail that were not in the video, right? But if the people are satisfied by the end of the video, nobody really complains, right?
Yeah.
So they're just going to be like, oh, this was a solid video, you know? So I'm not saying do that, right? Try to avoid that, right? Going to that extreme of things, but understand, like, you know, really learning packaging is like, it's just so important. And if more people come to your videos, you'll get more feedback, you'll get better ideas. It just, you know, it just starts to snowball on itself, right? So that would be my piece of advice, you know?
I love it. I love it. And we will end off this episode with that. Until the next one, we will have BD Legend back. We will see you then.
Sounds good. Sounds good.